smartphone, DSTV Channel 856 and on 92.7 and 106 FM.
This is 702.
Time now to talk to Nikki Bush. She is our human potential and parenting expert. She's a speaker and writer as well. Nikki, good morning. Hope you're well today.
Good morning, Rafiwa. Yes, I'm great. Thank you.
Very, very good to hear. Keep checking in on everybody. Not like, unlike pre-COVID days, you get straight into the meat of the matter and fire off your first question. But essentially, you can't start a conversation without saying, I hope you're okay, whatever okay means in this instance. Yeah.
But at least we are actually caring. And I'm finding that it's a... Even with clients, you know, we actually spend the first 15 or 20 minutes talking about each other.
And checking
which is
in.
Nice, actually, you know, it's the real African way. It's like really wanting to get to know you before we get down to business.
Well, Nikki, today we're taking a look at managing fairness amongst siblings. Now, this is so, so key and so important. And of course, we know that siblings, you know, if you've grown up with, you know, with other kids around in the family, siblings are very, very sensitive to unfairness, right? Or dynamics that are stacked against them in the family environment. And you'll often hear someone saying, well, you, of course you'd say that because you're mom's favorite. So you never experienced her anger the way, you know, the way I did. But, you know, banter like that is common amongst siblings. And I'm keen to find out, first of all, if you can just establish if there is there actually such a thing as sibling fairness, or is that a utopia, a pipe dream, something we can only strive for?
So, reveal where this is really, you know, kids have got extrasensory perception around this.
Sure.
They really, really have. And they pick up on the smallest things. And I guess what we're talking about here is, you know, the parents need to be consistent in certain areas in order to level the playing fields or keep them as level as possible. So these are things like... say, for example, pocket money. Let's start off there.
Sure.
And there are rites of passage, of course. You know, if you've got more than one child, they're different ages, so different things apply. When it comes to pocket money, I think one has to be very, very fair. For example, let's say it's 10 rand for every year of your life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That means a 10-year-old is going to get 100 rand and... You know, it's going to be completely different to the 8-year-old.
Sure.
He's going to get less money.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you might have to have an inflation-linked thing because, you know, if you've got a large lamaki, as some people have, you're not going to be able to pay that for 10 rand. It's going to be 15 rand.
Sure.
For every year of their life. Okay, but you get the idea.
Mm.
And then if the boundary is very clear, then there's no argument. We give you 10 rand for every year of your life for your pocket money.
Sure.
That's quite a nice one. Let me tell you, the reason why I'm saying this is because when I run workshops, webinars, etc. for parents, you have so many parents who say, yes, but, you know, my 12-year-old and my 10-year-old, we give them both 100 rand a month. But that's not actually, because we must be fair. You know,
sure.
that's the comment. We must be fair. But if you now got, say, a 15-year-old and a 10-year-old, the 15-year-old should be on an allowance.
Mm.
And that allowance should be covering certain things, whether it's clothes and entertainment and your airtime or whatever. That's a completely different equation to what a 10-year-old needs to pay for. A 10-year-old is paying for fluff and rubbish.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's fun stuff. Whereas the responsibility level when it comes to money for a 15, 16, 17-year-old has to be completely different because why?
Mm-hmm.
We are releasing that child into the world, teaching them the skills of independence and choice-making that matters. So those conversations have to be there. And then it's other rites of passage, like when will you give a child a cell phone?
Yeah.
So that's an interesting one. And piercing of ears. That might be a rite of passage. Now, in some homes, ears get pierced when a baby's 6 months old.
Sure.
In other homes, it might be when you're 13, you can have your ears pierced. When you're 18, you can have your ears pierced. Now, if you have two daughters and you allow the one to have, say, the eldest child can only have her ears pierced at the age of 13, and then you allow the younger child to have her ears pierced at the age of 8 or 10, I promise you the 13-year-old is going to be totting that up in the back of her mind and thinking, this is so unfair. I had to wait.
So, Nikki, for parents who are, you know, for parents whose sort of ethos or way of doing things is, well, first of all, do as I say and not as I do, or this is my house, my rules. Why is fairness even important? Are we looking at sort of long-term ramifications developmentally that we ought to be worried about? Or is this a matter of managing family dynamics and relationships, and you don't, and you're trying to mitigate any adverse impacts on that too?
Yes, so I go with the second part of your argument. So it's about maintaining family dynamics, and what you don't want to do is be setting up resentment between siblings, because how you actually allow this to unfold is going to determine some of the dynamics between your children. And I've had firsthand experience with this, and this actually was a recent one in our family, in that we had a very clear agreement with our eldest son when he went off to university that if he failed any subjects, he was responsible for paying for the redos.
Sure.
That was a clear-cut agreement. When he failed a subject, which he did, he actually came to me and he said, when you get the invoice, just let me know and I'll put the money in your account.
Sure.
It wasn't even a discussion. It wasn't a negotiation. It was pre-agreed up front. With my youngest, when he went off to university, it just happened to be around the time when my husband was killed. And I didn't even think to put an agreement in place, because it just wasn't the space I was in. And when he landed up failing a subject, there was no agreement in place. And there were some dynamics that went down about 6 weeks later between my sons. And the one sabotaged the other. And I remember sitting down with both of them individually, finding out what actually went on. And then when I was with my eldest, I said, are you angry with your younger brother? I mean, you practically sabotaged him. And he said, no, I'm not angry with him. And then something occurred to me. I used this word, resentment. I said, do you resent him for anything? And that hit a nerve like you can't believe. And he said, I do. He is not going to have to pay for those subjects that he is going to have to redo, and I had to. And that had not even crossed my mind. And it was just such an interesting thing to watch this resentment physically play out in the real world.
Sure.
So if there's ever a warning bell for me to share with parents, it's that. One has to be clear. And it's things can be small things like what TV programs you watch. I remember having these conversations with my youngest when he was about 9, 10, because his older brother was 13, and he was allowed to watch programs that had a much higher age rating because his brain was more mature. And you'll get
that's
to that
interesting
point
where
you can watch those programs, but right now your brain is not ready to handle that kind of content.
Sure.
It's the same with video gaming as well.
Sure.
There are age restrictions there too. So once again, that goes to developmental levels, but also to rites of passage. When you're that age, you will be able to watch those. Bedtime, there's another one.
Sure.
Older children go to bed later than younger children. You'll get there.
Yeah.
And that's part of sibling fairness. It's also part of maintaining boundaries and control and authority. There's so many different things that are linked here.
Now, talk to me about making a distinction or making an executive decision as a parent that, yes, this one might have only been allowed to take part in certain activities at the age of 12, but looks like the younger sibling is able to access the same activities at 11 or at 10 years old instead, because you've made the decision or you've come to the conclusion that the younger is more mature at a younger age than the older child is. Do you then maintain those same kinds of boundaries just for the optics of fairness? Or is this a conversation that you can have between siblings and say, actually, this is the reason why I'm making this decision?
I think there's always room for open communication. And I was having a conversation, I think, you know, we've been running these teen workshops. And my co-presenter, Savannah Seafor, has two daughters, and her daughter Lola is actually in our teen workshop. And she brought something up, something very interesting. Mm. She said she was only allowed to have her ears pierced, you know, obviously at a certain age.
Sure.
But she said her younger sister chose to cut her hair really, really short at one point, and it made her look quite boyish. And she was being teased at school for looking like a boy.
Ah, okay.
And her sister said to her mum, so this is Lola, said to her mum, do you think we should let Molly pierce her ears?
Yeah.
Then people will know she's a girl. And because it came from her and not from her parents, it was absolutely okay. So I think it also depends on, and this is what's really important in family life, is building those open channels of communication where we can have this conversation. I had a situation with my children where my eldest son got his first cell phone at the age of 13.
Sure.
But our practical dynamics when his younger son, my younger son was nine,
sure,
was that my children were now catching a bus to school.
Okay.
I was no longer dropping them off at school and collecting them from school.
Mm.
So having a cell phone, my nine-year-old, to have a cell phone was because he was catching a bus and he wasn't in my car. If he'd been in my car, he wouldn't have got a cell phone.
Mm.
It was a practical necessity, a practical dynamic, but it was also a family agreement.
Okay. All right, and understood. Now, from the perspective of managing fairness among siblings, I don't imagine that this is something that a lot of parents really view as a long-term problem, a problem that their kids will be dealing with into adulthood. But I mean, fundamentally, you want your siblings to be a sort of safety net for each other, to be there for each other as they, you know, as you pass on and they move into their older years as well. And just the sort of pitfalls of not keeping an eye on this can look like what?
It can look like sabotage. It can look like punishing the other child. So taking it out on, you know, one has to just be aware. So be alert, you know, when there's stuff going down between your children. When there's a clash, just be aware of where this might be coming from.
Mm.
And it can be not, it might be because one child had more than the other, but think about things like maybe you are naturally more drawn to one child than the other.
Sure.
So you might spend more time.
How often do you hear that from parents, Nikki?
Often. That is something that we have actually we've made it part of the parenting workshops that we're running at the moment, is talking about the child that you naturally connect to easier and the child you are not so naturally drawn to. You have to find ways to connect with them. You have to build the bridge. You are the adult. You are the leader. You have to get out of your comfort zone and build a bridge to that child. If you don't build an emotional bridge to your children, then when they're between 16 and 24, when kids actually do want to walk back over that bridge to you, strangely enough, you know, as much as in the teenage years, they want to do their own thing.
Sure.
There comes a time when they want to walk back over the bridge to their parents. You've got to make sure you've built that bridge. And it is much more uncomfortable, you know, if you're trying to connect to a child who's maybe doesn't share your love languages or your communication styles. We have toucher children, non-touchers. Mm-hmm. We have talkers, non-talkers. And say you're a talker parent and you have a non-talker child, you have to find a way to build a bridge to that child.
Sure.
It might be in silence. You know, it might be that they're a quality time child. So the love languages are important. A quality time child, you might enjoy playing sport with you or cooking with you, but might not be a talker.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So you've got to find different ways to connect. Because if you're always cuddling the cuddler child, how does the other child feel? So if you're not connecting to the child who's not the toucher child in a way that makes them feel loved, they will feel resentment to their sibling.
Yeah.
So there's lots of little dynamics in family life that we need to be aware of.
Oh, goodness.
How we spend our time, how we spend our money.
Yep. And I guess the great big surprise of parenting is like, oh my goodness, this person is not going to turn out how I imagined they would or how I think they ought to, or they're not going to be an exact replica of me. So guess what? She's not as sporty as you'd have liked her to be, or musically gifted or inclined, and she just doesn't share your interests. Deal with it.
Yep, and maybe that's something we can pick up at another time, because it's a big conversation about the pictures we hold of our children. Yeah,
absolutely. All right, let me take a look at the toy feature now. This is so cute. The Jeco card holder for little hands.
Well, let me tell you, it is a highly, highly unusual little item.
Yes.
And if you can get your hands on it, please do. If you've got children under the age of 8, between about 4 and 8 years of age, sometimes children find it really difficult to hold a fan of cards in their hands.
This might be the highlight. Watching a kid trying to hold a fan of cards open during a card game might actually be the best part of playing with younger children. Unendingly amusing. And of course, you get to then see their cards and beat them once again. And
it was man.
Listen, I might be older. I didn't say I was not super mature. My competitiveness doesn't stop just because you're 4 years old. Come on.
Yeah. No, well, you know, this little it's from Jeco, DJECO. Mm-hmm. And it's this beautiful little cat plastic. It's got a little cat on it, and it's a round plastic card holder, so you can stick your fan of cards in there. And then especially young children, like under the age of 6, who really battle with the fine motor coordination to hold a fan of cards, they can then play with their older siblings and be really competent. And I stocked this 1 year at my Toy Talk presentations, which I used to hold in the November every year.
Sure.
I think the year that I had this in stock, we sold about 200 or 300 of them.
Yeah.
And they're not always available. They are currently available. I spotted them on Takealot. Okay. They're 109 Rand. So if you have a younger child who battles to hold a fan of cards, place your order now and go and have a look at the Jeco range of card games while you're at it.
Yeah.
Because they have a magnificent range of kids' card games.
Yeah.
So go and buy your child one of these card holders and a card game, and then have some wonderful quality time with each other.
Absolutely. Like I said, such a cute little device. Really, really important, I think, especially between the younger kids and the older kids. There's always just a dynamic of, you know, the little one gets tired of being taken advantage of, right? They're always letting that card slip. They're always letting that card show. So, yeah, this is a nice, a cute little pacifier that you might want to bring into the home as well, you know, for the sake of peace.
Absolutely.
Nikki, looking forward to our conversation next week, Saturday. Really, really enjoyed this chat.
Fantastic. Thanks, Rufio. Have a great day.
Will do, you too. That's Nikki Bush, a human potential expert and parenting expert there. Really hope you found that conversation useful. Perhaps you're looking at your own environment, interrogating the dynamic that you are part of setting up amongst your own children.